So you want to listen to a pretty all right podcast about wrestling, do ya?
Well, the Natural Lad, Jeff Swag, has said time and time again that there's only one podcast that's the most decent and the most all right in the industry today.
And that's who? It's the Dave Raven Wrestling Podcast. Welcome back, everyone, to a brand new episode of your favorite internet wrestling show, Game Rage Wrestling, the show that we were too lazy to come up with a better name. My name's Josh. I'm here today with my partner in laziness, Adam.
The most decent and the most all right podcast.
That's right. I think not changing the name just espouses the most decent and the most all right values. I think that's why we should just
might have to change this podcast to the most decent and the most all right wrestling podcast.
That might actually be in the cards. I think that might be possible. But anyways, if you guys want, today we're going to talk about Crown Jewel 2024. We're going to go over the results and the further implications about, you know, Saudi Arabia and wrestling, I guess, kind of for lack of a better term. Before we get into that, we could sure use your goddamn help by going to YouTube and subscribing to our channel. We've now put a dent in the number. We only need 18 more subscribers to get to where we need to be. So if you could go to YouTube and like, comment, and subscribe, we greatly fucking appreciate it. Also, you can go to Instagram and TikTok if you're into that sort of thing on Game Rage Magazine. Subscribe or follow there. Twitter/X, we're at Game Rage Mag if you like Twitter. You can follow Adam at All Gas No Trash Official on Instagram. And yeah, that's pretty much it. All right, so Crown Jewel 2024. We made some predictions, right? But we also didn't get the match order. Right? That match order wasn't right, right?
No, it wasn't. It was the blood. It started with the bloodline.
It was kind of like reversed, right? From what they had said on Wikipedia of what the match order was going to be.
Yeah, turned out for the better, right?
Yeah.
Somewhat. It's what you would expect of Crown Jewel at this point. It's fucking house show.
Throwaway.
It's a house show for Saudi Arabia, and you get to see all your favorites and do all the shit for meaningless bullshit, especially with the Crown Jewel Championship. The Bloodline, so we opened with the Bloodline shit, and I didn't particularly care for this match. It's, as I said before, it's growing stale, and the only real highlight, I think my favorite thing really was Jacob Fatu is doing this thing, which he's been doing probably since the beginning, where he goes like this, and it's like, yeah. I don't know if it's in prayer of like Solo Sikoa and how he acknowledges.
Or like showing reverence or something like that, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, look, it's the fucking Samoan Jutsu or some shit.
The Samoan Jutsu? He's going to start doing, Hey, if he starts
Samoan
throwing
no
fire.
Jutsu, dude, yeah. Dude,
if he starts throwing fire out of his hands or some shit, that'd be awesome, but anyway.
Yeah, it's, I think Jacob Fatu is going to be a solid. Like, if there was anything to take away from his tenure in the WWE, it's that this dude is going to be a solo competitor, no pun intended, or rather a singles competitor, yeah. And he's here to stay.
Like, and he
is going to be one of the top heels in the company, and this is kind of further perpetuating that. Solo Sikoa actually looked like he dropped a little bit of weight. Like, he actually looks like he's more, he leaned up a bit, but the match was kind of boring. You got your typical Roman spots with him doing the Cobra punches or the Superman punches. But he was like not really in the match all that much. And it was more Jay and Jimmy doing Jay and Jimmy things of like, you know, dropping elbows together and doing shit in tandem as they typically do in their tag fashion. But and then there was fucking, I can't remember which one's the one that's the least useless between Tama Tonga and Tongaloa. But he was doing that weird barking thing where he's like he does that weird shit. the outcome of the match, who gives a shit? They fucking won. The new Bloodline won. Sami Zayn came out and So the, Solo Sikoa and Sami Zayn had a conversation on Monday Night Raw, not knowing what the contents of that conversation was, but it already aroused suspicion between Jimmy and Jay that if they were going to fight the, if they were going to fight the Bloodline, that maybe Sami is not, can be ruled out because now maybe he's betraying them or some shit.
Yeah.
So he comes out, makes the save, saves Roman and the Usos from getting their ass kicked from the new Bloodline. And then they eventually corner Solo Sikoa, or rather he's in the middle of the ring and all four of the guys are at each ring post. And then as Roman's going for like the Cobra Punch, Sami Zayn goes to the middle of the ring as well, and he ends up hitting him with like a super kick or some shit. So then it further raises suspicion of whether Sami Zayn, whether that was intentional or wasn't, or if he's working for the, you know, the new Bloodline. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of what the outcome was, and it was whatever. Like I said, it was a throwaway match, and maybe the more meaningful match is going to come at Survivor Series. And we were incorrect in believing that The Rock would appear for this shit to solidify the victory for the new Bloodline. But again, don't really give a shit. Don't really care.
Yeah. And then we get match number two. Did you watch that one?
Nope. Skipped it.
Skipped it. But for those of you that care, which hopefully none of you do, but just in case there's one or two of you that do, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill retain their titles in the Fatal 4-Way for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. Real quick, I kind of feel like that, you remember before when, like now, I mean, it's not as, I feel like it's not as defined or whatever, or it kind of maybe is now, but I really like those old tag team belts, like from the Ruthless Aggression era, the Raw and the SmackDown belts.
Yes.
Like those Raw ones. I don't know, man. I wish they would bring those back. Like, those were fucking tight-ass fucking tag team titles. I don't know why. But I feel like they need to do that with, like, the women's division, like, two separate tag belts. Fucking bring them back to look like that. That would be fucking awesome.
I don't think they have enough people to cover.
At the moment, no, but
I feel like both divisions.
Well, once AEW starts fucking having problems, then you also got TNA. They have the entirety of TNA to be able to utilize on their roster, essentially, with this deal that they've got with them. So, you know, I don't know. Anyways, we go to match. We go to match number three. Seth Rollins versus Bronson Reed.
I watched this, but I don't think this is a favorable match for either one of them. It wasn't memorable, and they're trying to build up Bronson Reed as like this main event figure,
but then you bury him,
and then you have him lose to Seth Rollins, and I'm thinking, why would you do that? But the match wasn't even that great. It was like slow paced. It started with Bronson Reed giving Seth Rollins a tsunami, which is just like, you know, a full body press or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, not a frog splash, but like just pressing his body against Seth Rollins, which was kind of like, I don't care anymore, dude. Like this, they had something good between him and Bronson Reed, you know, the monster versus monster match. And it was like meat slapping. It was fucking, you know, them wrecking the fucking ring and all that shit. I don't think Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed should be in the ring together because they really didn't really have all that much in-ring chemistry that I gave a fuck about this match. It was kind of like fucking whatever.
Yeah, but Seth Rollins wins, and he is a Triple H guy. So is this you think Triple H fucking kind of putting his guys first? Seth Rollins needs a payday. Well, you got to feed somebody to him because you don't want him to lose. So you throw Bronson Reed in there. I mean, they are kind of like, I guess, feuding a little bit, I guess. I don't know. But, you know.
And he gave him like seven or eight, I don't know what the number was. There was like a previous encounter where, you know, to build up this rivalry, Bronson Reed had given Seth Rollins like numerous tsunamis to put himself on the map to be in the main event picture. That if he wasn't going to be put in the main event picture, then he was just going to start giving tsunamis to everybody. Like, yeah. You know, like free pieces and shit.
Giving
that to everybody.
All out to everyone.
But he's not convincing to me. Like, I just don't see how he's going to be on the main event. To me, at best, he's a fucking mid-carder. Yeah. At best.
Maybe a cannon fodder for your heavyweight champion when you're going to put him in that spotlight to try him out and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's just cannon fodder for that.
I think him getting his due and this being his first main event, or rather being on the main card.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good sign because it's in Crown Jewel, like the house show of fucking PLEs.
Yeah, yeah.
That where it doesn't mean anything. And you put him on this, that means you don't have all that much faith in him. Why isn't he already in the
main event? Or maybe it means the opposite, because every spot on this card is likely getting a heavy bonus for this, right? Just being in Saudi Arabia alone. So maybe this is a sign that they do believe in him and they think he's earned this payday, right? So they're going to fucking keep him going. Maybe they're going to keep pushing him. I don't know. Now he's maybe going to be in this feud with Seth Rollins for the next couple of months.
Maybe.
Maybe till Netflix Raw. Who the fuck knows? Anyways, we go to the next match. Did you watch Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax?
Nope.
But anyways, for those of you that care, Liv Morgan won, and she won the Women's Crown Jewel Championship, which I still don't know how the fuck this is going to work. What, do you got to turn it back in at the end of the year? Like, how does that fucking work? Like,
I don't remember. I didn't have the commentary on because I think what also hurt this pay-per-view, that this was probably some of the worst commentary between Michael Cole and Corey Graves. Like, and I was giving Corey Graves props like a couple months ago. Not, and this is probably the worst commentary that they've done. It came off as flat. I don't know if it was because they flew in from the U.S. to Saudi Arabia that they weren't themselves. Like, they were adjusting to the time. I don't know what it was, but it just came out as flat and boring, and I wasn't interested, so I didn't really get to hear about what Crown Jewel, like being the Crown Jewel champion, if you just end up giving the title back to Saudi Arabia, and then it just sits there, and then it'll set it up for the next person to win it.
Maybe, I don't know. But anyways, after that, real quick, I do want to talk about Samantha Irvin. Maybe after we get through this, because she, you know, remember
she left, right?
I kind of want to talk about that a little bit, but
okay.
Let's get through this nonsense, and then we'll get into that.
All right, so then we work our way to
Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton.
And even this shit is not actually technically in order, because I think the second to last match was actually the tag match.
Oh, the Bloodline match?
I forgot the order, but this isn't the correct order.
Fuck you, Wikipedia. Like, who the fuck did this?
It doesn't matter, because we're just working our way through
it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But anyways, we get Kevin Owens and Randy Orton.
And Randy Orton, which was a...
supposed to be just a single...
unsanctioned match where they didn't even get started. They just started fighting around the ring. And then I think it ended with Kevin Owens doing a frog splash atop the... the higher end seats, or rather the more elevated seats, and jumping off like the barricade and putting Randy Orton out, as Triple H had noted that this is a different Kevin Owens that we're experiencing, that this is a more brutal Kevin Owens, that he's out for blood, and that he feels like he's betrayed by Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes, that they've been it's about the bloodline. I forgot what it was. God damn, I'm trying to think. That they're friends with Jey Uso, and he's like, man, you're still fucking with them? And he just fucking leaves, and then that's what leads to this feud. But, it was entertaining, because they got to do a lot of things. Randy Orton RKO'd a fucking referee and shit, so I don't know. It was whatever. It didn't turn into a match, but you got what you wanted, because they ended up taking it outside the ring and started doing all kinds of shit, so... All
right, yeah, fair enough. So then we get LA Knight going up against Andrade and Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, so this was interesting, as I thought this match wasn't going to matter, but it ended up being the more entertaining match, because you have two people in Carmelo Hayes and Andrade who are more on the acrobatic, like, lucha... Well, specifically, like, Andrade being more on the lucha libre side.
Yeah.
But they were doing these incredible things, and it ended up being... The finish for the match was fucking sweet. Carmelo Hayes was going to do this tornado DDT, and then LA Knight ended up like fucking catching both of them, countering, and then doing his finisher on both of them, and he covered both of them for the pin.
Oh, nice.
But then Andrade did this really sweet fucking moonsault. Like, he was pointing at Carmelo Hayes, and then he just does a blind jump backwards and lands on LA Knight. I'm like, whoa, this is great. Like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this ended up being the fucking match of the night. It was great. Like, there was numerous, like, simultaneous tags where both dudes were on their backs, whether it was, like, Andrade or LA Knight being pinned by Carmelo Hayes. There was great counters. There was all kinds of great spots. Like, this was definitely the highlight of the fucking pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I said, full disclosure, obviously I didn't watch this, but I totally forgot about this, so I didn't watch it. But, I mean, this seems like this would have been the workhorse fucking match for sure. And, yeah, I'm glad to hear that it was good, that it went the distance.
It makes me believe that these guys should be getting more important storylines and perhaps moving up the ladder. But, again, LA Knight's the person that just gets the fucking raw end of the deal when it comes to, like, main event picture status, but whatever. Fuck.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, all right, then we get to the final match, which was Cody Rhodes versus Gunther for the Crown Jewel Championship.
I don't know if I have anything nice to say about this match. I don't really care. I didn't really care for it. So I don't... As much as I would love to give a description about it and...
It's not even worth it.
I just don't care.
All right, so Cody Rhodes wins the fucking match, which is fucking... I mean, listen, I guess he needs it because he's a piece of shit and can't wrestle, but, like, you know...
My favorite part is that Triple H comes out to the ring, and then you have, like, the... I don't know if it's, like, the Saudi princes that come out as well.
Yeah, all the underling princes or whatever.
So then they have Liv Morgan out there as they're raising the hands of the champion, but everybody's to the left, or rather to the right, of Liv Morgan as if she were, like, a fucking leper. And I'm like, man, this is why I don't fuck with the WWE taking money from Saudi Arabia and compromising their values, like American values, for money. Because you have all these women dress up in these garments to cover up their body, and then for, like, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill to be bedazzled in all these fucking jewels and shit to basically kind of cover up their shape, the shape of their body, that it's like, man, if you're just gonna bend the knee like that, man, why even fucking bother? Like, I know you're getting paid probably ridiculous amounts of money, but that's not without your fucking dignity, dude, or even your values as an American, I suppose.
I do think that the WWE being... I guess it's... negating the values of America or of the country of our home country, right, of America, to bend the knee, like you said, to a foreign country for money, that just seems fucked. I mean, we know, again, the deal that was made, they're getting paid about $50 million each event.
For how many years?
Well, it was, I think it was 10 years. Yeah, it was 2018 to 2027. It was a 10-year deal, two events per year for $100 million a year, essentially. So it was a, well... the wrestling they reported it was 900% of the company for the biggest gate ever for a single pro wrestling event was $17.3 million in 2016 for WrestleMania 32. Okay, at the time that they signed this fucking deal. So basically the five Saudi Arabia events from 2018 to 2020 garnered $250 million. Ticket sales for WrestleMania from 1985 to 2019 only made $210 million. Which That's WrestleMania from 85 to 2019. Didn't even make what they made in five fucking years of doing two events a year at fucking Saudi Arabia.
You know what's AIDS? When it comes to the event itself, they get SummerSlam quality stage production.
Yeah.
They get the big ass fucking Titantron at the beginning of the entrance stage, and then they get those four pillars and the little canopy on top. They get all that shit. And I'm thinking, man, how come they can't fucking put a little bit more effort here in the fucking US, dude? When it comes to the production of the stage and the ring and all that shit, they go out for fucking Saudi Arabia, but they don't do it for us.
All right, so WrestleMania 40, okay, across two nights, the gate was $38.5 million for two nights. The WWE is making $50 million a night that they're in Saudi Arabia because that's what they're paying for. Now, granted, there's no audience, all right? There's literally, like, minimal audience. There's because they're not selling tickets. Everybody gets to go, right? They're getting paid $50 million by the Saudi government for the event to put it on. So they're making twice as much as they are almost on WrestleMania, okay, just to do one night of an event twice a year. They're making $100 million for two nights as opposed to $38.5 for two nights for WrestleMania. So it pains me to say this, but Saudi Arabia will eventually get a WrestleMania. And how they'll do it is say, we'll give you $200 million for two nights of WrestleMania here. And who's going to say no to that?
Yeah, but how are they? Okay, I don't think. Are they just expecting people to show up in droves for that shit? Because
no one from other countries, I don't think, will be allowed. I think it's only going to be for a WrestleMania for two nights. You will have night one. You'll get because remember, we see this. You have the important people have the couches and they have their little private booths in the front of the audience and that whole floor section.
Yeah.
And then just recently they started allowing the extra part of the arena to be opened to like essentially what would be like the peasantry class, right? Like the peasants.
Yeah.
And I don't know this for a fact. I have to look into it, but I think that they lottery those tickets. I don't think they make anybody pay for them. I think they lottery them out and you can enter the lottery to win tickets to go to Crown Jewel or whatever and sit in the peasant seats. So like WrestleMania would be the same way. You'd have likely night one would be your peasant night and night two, no peasants allowed. No way peasants are allowed night two, all right? Because that's when all the good shit's going
to
happen.
But also, you know that WWE has to push their fake numbers about selling out an event and having... Because it has right. Every fucking year, they say, we're going to top the numbers that we did, right. Which is almost like we're going to have 1 million people in a stadium. I'm sure that's going to be... something they say in the future for like 100,000 person arena, like they're gonna say, oh yeah, we packed in 1 million.
But yeah, sure.
For Saudi Arabia, I don't think
it's about the number with that. I think it's about the money. And listen, we got to remember too, TKO is the owner, right? Like they're the fucking the main guy, right? When it comes to deciding what happens in WWE, they get the final say.
Yeah.
So if Saudi Arabia says, hey guys, after this 2027, I don't think we're going to see it now. I think we're going to see it probably in 2028, 2029, maybe even 2030. We'll see a WrestleMania that year be in Saudi Arabia. And it'll be because TKO may give resistance for a little couple of years and say, nah, we don't want to do WrestleMania here. We don't want to do WrestleMania here. And then when the Saudis say, fuck, it might even be higher than that. It might be $250 million, might be $300 million.
I think it'll be a billion.
Hell, if it's $1 billion... Shit, what did they pay for WWE? What did TKO pay for WWE? Fucking $10 billion or something like that?
I don't remember what they paid.
I gotta look it up real quick, but...
If they can get 1/10 of like what they paid for it in one night or two nights.
Okay, they paid $21 billion for WWE. Okay. Or no, it was the $21 billion merger between the Ultimate Fighting Championship... Wait, how much did they buy WWE for then? So what was the actual number then? Because that was just the deal to merge.
I think it was like a couple billion.
But probably.
I don't know what the actual number was.
They bought... Okay, so they bought... Fuck, it's... Okay, so it's a total of $21.4 billion for the UFC and WWE is what this whole thing is. Let's see, the deal... Okay, valued WWE at $9.3 billion. So, yeah, probably likely around $10 billion is what they actually bought WWE for.
So they get 1/10 of that in one night.
A tenth of that in one night. And let's be honest.
If they got paid that.
Who knows how much money they've already made in profit since they purchased the WWE. I mean, they just did this deal with Netflix that was basically, what, $1 billion right there? So, like, you're fucking slowly cranking up the numbers here.
Yeah, it's like 1/5 of the way there to recover their...
Yeah, and like if by 2030 they're like, oh, we're close to either getting to that number or we've hit that number already of that $10 billion, they might be like, well, shit, guys, this is a cool way to make basically $1 billion in profit.
That's a quick fucking turnaround.
Because how much does it cost them to put WrestleMania on? Like it may cost you like maybe let's say between salaries and paying people and sets and all that shit, let's say it cost you fucking $100 million. Well, then you're walking away with which there's no way it's going to cost $100 million because they only make $35 million on the gate at WrestleMania, and there's no pay-per-view money in that because it's not a pay-per-view anymore. So, you know, it probably costs fucking $10 million maybe. Not even less. Probably costs like $5 million to put on the shit for WrestleMania. So if it only costs you $5 million and you're going to get paid $1 billion, That's $995 million in profit, essentially, for this event. And the Saudis may even provide you with some shit to fucking put on the event for, you know, to make some of the stuff, I guess. So they'll do it. They will do it. That's what's depressing to me. They'll do it. And then we'll get to see fucking Middle East, the goddamn WrestleMania show. And it'll be, again, hiding all the things that we enjoy as wrestling fans. Listen, yeah, you see Jade Cargill and fucking Bianca Belair, right? Yeah, sure, they're hot. You see Liv Morgan, she's hot as fuck. But they got to wear these fucking jumpsuits or whatever and, like, hide their shit that we as fans, you know, enjoy about one of the things we enjoy about them, right?
And it's also, we're desensitized to that shit, too. So it's not even a big deal, but apparently they make it a big deal by covering them up.
Yeah.
So
and then it becomes a problem for us then, right?
Then it becomes an eyesore. Different.
Yeah, now it's an eyesore. And if the wrestling's not up to snuff, then now it's just an eyesore and it's shitty wrestling. So, like, it's fuck, man. So I'm against it, but I think they will do it. When the right number gets told, they will do it. There's no question in my mind.
All right, so this Samantha Irvin shit, is this worth its own episode?
I think it's own episode. We'll do that. We'll do another episode of that. Maybe, okay. Whatever, next week or something. I don't know.
No, right now.
Oh, let's do it right now. All right, fuck it. All right.
I mean, not on this episode.
Yeah, let's do another episode right now. So okay. We'll put it out. All right. We'll do that. Samantha Irvin leads WWE because I just kind of want to talk about it for a few minutes. But anyways, all right. Well, check out that episode. If you want to check out more, go to Game Rage Magazine on YouTube where you can like, comment, and subscribe. Instagram and TikTok at Game Rage Magazine. Twitter/@GameRageMag. You can follow Adam at All Gas No Trash Official. And we will be it. I'll catch you guys on the next one. That was another wonderful, amazing, powerful episode of the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. And take it from me, ladies and gentlemen, the natural lad, Jet Swag. If there's one podcast, one show you should be listening to, that you should be absolutely grateful for, it's the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. And one of the things you can do to show your appreciation for all the hard work and dedication that these boys put out day in, day out, just for you people, it's that you can go and you can subscribe and you can like and follow them on the Instagram and the TikTok at Game Rage Magazine. You can also follow them and like them and subscribe to them on the old Twitter, which I don't know what it's called now, but who cares? It's at Game Rage Mag there. Additionally, if you feel the need to really show your appreciation, which you should, then go to their website at www.GameRageMagazine.com and show us some love. Show them some love. And show some love for the natural lad, Jet Swag.